Good morning, and welcome to our Kanawha City Church of Christ worship service. We are so pleased that you have chosen to join us. We certainly miss meeting in person. We miss seeing each of you, but we are so glad that you're able to join us online and look forward to the next hour or so of worship together. Before we begin our singing, let me start off leading us with an opening prayer. Dear God, we're so thankful for this body, this church, and for each of the members that attend here. We're thankful for the opportunity to spend time together, even when we're apart, in worshiping you and singing songs of praise to you and learning more about your will for us here on earth. And we just pray for all of our members and for everyone that's been impacted by the coronavirus. Help us to take care of one another. Help us to love others, and help us just to get through this difficult time together. And we just pray that we can continue to grow closer together and closer to you. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Shout hallelujah, shout hallelujah, shout hallelujah unto the Lord. Shout hallelujah, shout hallelujah, shout hallelujah unto the Lord. Sing aloud to God, let the people shout before his throne. Hallelujah, sing aloud to God, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Shout hallelujah, shout hallelujah, shout hallelujah unto the Lord. Shout hallelujah, shout hallelujah, shout hallelujah unto the Lord.
From the ends of the earth,
from the ends of the earth,
from the depths of the sea,
from the depths of the sea, let all creation praise his name.
From the ends of the earth,
from the ends of the earth,
from the depths of the sea,
from the depths of the sea, let all creation praise his name. Shout hallelujah, shout hallelujah, shout hallelujah unto the Lord. Shout hallelujah, shout hallelujah, shout hallelujah unto the Lord.
From the ends of the earth,
from the ends of the earth,
from the depths of the sea,
from the depths of the sea, let all creation praise his name.
From the ends of the earth,
from the ends of the earth,
from the depths of the sea,
from the depths of the sea, let all creation praise his name. Shout hallelujah, shout hallelujah, shout hallelujah unto the Lord. Shout hallelujah, shout hallelujah, shout hallelujah unto the Lord. Shout hallelujah, shout hallelujah, shout hallelujah, shout hallelujah unto the Lord. He tipped its skies with heavenly hue and framed the worlds with his great might.
There is a God.
There is a God.
He is alive.
He is alive. He is the God.
mind set men free, and evermore with him good live. There is a God.
And I pour out my soul deep within me. Deep within me, I pour out my soul. Draw me deeper, Lord, in you. As we enter this morning into this time of our communion, first off, I want to encourage you to go ahead and pause the video and get your bread and your cup gathered and ready, and then we'll take those together. So go ahead and pause the video for a second. And in Psalm 42, it says this. It says, as the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God? My tears have been my food day and night, while men say to men all day long, where is your God? These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I used to go with the multitude, leading the procession to the house of God with shouts of joy and thanksgiving among the festive throng. This idea of I pour out my soul is throughout the Bible, but there's a song that we sing, and actually you're going to hear it here in a couple of minutes, and it's just this idea. It's a modern idea of as the deer from the hymn, but it's called As the Deer Thirsts. And it's this idea of the deer thirst for the water, so we thirst for God. And so in that analogy, we are the deer, and God is the water that we're drawn to. And so the song goes into this just chorus of, and I pour out my soul deep within me. Draw me deeper, Lord, in you. And so as your communion together, whether you are with someone or with us in spirit, I want you to think about that. I want you to think about drawing your spirit to God, drawing your soul, your essence, you, drawing closer to God. Because that's what we are here to do. We are here to be drawn closer to him. So think about that. We're going to be able to take the bread and the cup together right now while you listen to this song, this beautiful remembrance that we draw close to God. So God, we come to you now. We thank you for allowing us to draw close to you. God, fill our hearts, fill our spirits, fill our minds, fill our soul with the longing to be with you. God, thank you for sending your Son to die on that cross for our sins, to give of his body, and to give everything for us. God, be with us as we remember that sacrifice this morning, as we take the cup and as we take the bread. God, just remind us to draw close to you. It's in your precious and holy name that we pray, and amen.
As the tears,
as the tears
flow, His love is
ring forever.
His love endures forever. His love endures forever.
Good morning, church. Welcome to our time of worship and Bible study this morning. We are continuing our sermon series this week as we look at this concept of the steadfast love of God that endures forever. And we're using this as our theme to look at the very nature of God presented in the entire Bible and within our whole lives, but very specifically looking at the nature of God as it's presented and as we see it in the Old Testament. As a theme verse for this study, we've been looking at Psalm 136 in verse 1, where the psalmist sings, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever." A song we just sang a few moments ago. And so we're looking at this idea about the steadfast love of God. The steadfast love of God that endures forever, that's been there since before the creation of the earth and will continue for all eternity. The steadfast love of God that's just as eternal as the eternal God that we serve. Last week we began a study where we were looking at the creation. And we decided to kind of break that into a two-part study as we looked at this idea of what does creation teach us about God. But before we get into that further, I want to just begin by asking you this question. How's your 2020 going? How's things going for you this year? You see, just like in this moment right here, we're experiencing things that we weren't expecting to experience this year. And it's got us flustered. It's got us unsure as to what to do and how to move forward. You see, even this morning, my guess is you weren't planning, even earlier this week, you weren't planning to join me for a Bible study on your computer screen while I sit here in my office. We've decided that it's maybe just best right now for us to cancel our in-person services and interact and fellowship with one another in this way. And it's my prayer that we can find creative ways to stay connected and continue to fellowship and worship with one another. But for right now, the leadership has kind of decided that maybe this is best, just to be certain that we're doing the best we can to make sure that everybody stays connected, as well as just to be certain that we're keeping everybody safe. And that's really what we're wanting to do. And we hope that you'll be patient with the leadership as these decisions are made and as we move forward. But within all of the uncertainty of things that have gone on this year, maybe you're looking at 2020 and you're just wondering, what's going on? Why are things happening like this? And you just don't like what we're experiencing. As we move forward into the summer, we kind of thought maybe things would be changing a little bit, but we're seeing different things pop up and our vacation plans and everything else are getting changed. We're beginning to experience something like this picture that I saw earlier this week. It's a picture of John Candy from the 1983 Chevy Chase movie Vacation. And it's a play off of how Wally World was closed, but it says, "Sorry folks, the world's closed. The moose out front should have told you." Maybe that's kind of what we're experiencing right now is just so much frustration and uncertainty about what we are facing right now. And maybe you're just wondering why. Maybe you just don't like it. And maybe someone has come along and told you, everything's going to be all right. Everything will work out. Everything's going to be good. You see, here this morning, I want to encourage you by telling you this. Everything is going to be all right. As a matter of fact, life is still good. I can say that confidently because for the child of God, life is still good. And you might ask me, how do you know? Well, I think the answer is within our study this morning. You see, we look back all the way to the story of creation. And at the very beginning, God began to create the earth. And this is what we read. We've already talked about this. I'm going to move forward a little bit. This is what we read. Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. We open up our Bibles, and these are the very first words that we read. "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw that the light was good. And God separated the light from the darkness, and God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. So we come to this first day of creation, and God creates light, and he creates darkness. And this is what he notices. It says, and God saw that the light was good. You see, here's the point that I want to make to you this morning. From the very beginning, God and good have gone together. From the very beginning, God and good have been together, and God has been good, and God will always be good and work good into his creation. You see, what does creation teach us about the nature of God? Creation teaches us that the steadfast love of God is made evident in the goodness of his creation. This is just day one, and on day one, he creates light, and he sees that it was good. But as you move through the rest of the days, with the exception of on day two, on every day of creation, God gets to the end of the day, and he sees that it was good. When God created the earth, he created the world to be good. And then we get to the end of chapter 1, and we read this in Genesis 1, verse 31, that God sees everything that he made, and behold, he doesn't just say it was good, he says that it was very good. You see, from the very beginning, God has been creating this world to be good. God and good go together. But here's what we need to think about a little bit. What is meant by this word good? What is meant when God looks over creation and sees that it's good? You see, I don't think what God meant was that it was necessarily without the ability to be flawed. Because we see that as man comes into creation, lives within creation, it just doesn't take long for man to mess things up. And from there, we start to see flaws. I don't think that when God looked at creation, he saw that it would necessarily always be moral. And that with the immorality coming into the world, that would be the end of the goodness. I don't even think that when God looked over creation and said that it was good, that he necessarily meant that it was aesthetically pleasing, that it was pretty for us to look at and for us to enjoy. And in many ways, creation is, but I don't think that's necessarily what he meant. But what did God mean when he saw that it was good? You see, I think what he meant was that it was good for all of creation. It was good for the rest of creation. I want to look at this quote by Tom Albright. Tom Albright says, "The goodness of creation is that its various features and functions are mutually beneficial for man and the rest of creation." You see, when God created the world, he created it to be mutually beneficial for each other. The goodness of creation is that it encourages and it builds up the rest of creation, that it's mutually beneficial both for man and for creation. We see this even in the way that creation plays out. I want you to think about kind of the symmetry of creation and how it builds upon one another and how one day is created for another day. You see, as we come into creation, day one, God creates light and darkness. He creates day and night. On day two, he creates the sea and the sky. On day three, he creates land. So on the first 3 days, he creates various atmospheres, various dwelling places. And then look at what happens as he gets to the second half of creation, the last 3 days. On day four, he creates the luminaries. What we mean by that is he creates the moon and the stars, and he places them within the sky. He creates the sun. He creates the things that will sustain the light and the darkness. He creates the sun and the moon, the things that will inhabit the day and the night. On day four, he creates the water animals and the birds. He creates the things that will inhabit both the sea and the sky. And so day one was created for day four. Day two was created for day five. And on day six, he creates land animals and he creates humans. He creates the things that will inhabit the land of day three. So day three is created for day six. There's symmetry there. You see, even in the goodness of God's creation, he creates so that his creation is mutually beneficial for each other. He creates so that we can live and breathe off of creation. He creates so that we can build up creation. And in that, he sees that it's good. You see, in Genesis chapter 1, picking up at verse 26, it says, "Then God said, 'Let us make man in our image after our likeness.'" Here's what I want you to notice about this as I read this. I want you to notice what God says about the purpose of some of creation for the rest of creation and how they're mutually beneficial for one another. God said, "Let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over the livestock and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. And God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on the earth." And God said, "Behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the face of all the earth, and every tree with seed in its fruit. You shall have them for food, and to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the heavens, and to everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has the breath of life, I have given every green plant for food." And it was so. You see, what God is saying here is that he has created the vegetation for the animals. He's created the world to be mutually beneficial to each other. And as he sees all this, as he sees all of his creation, and he commands how creation will play out, he sees everything that he made, and behold, it was very good, and there was evening and there was morning the sixth day. God creates in a way where his world is mutually beneficial of each other. He does that as a way of showing his steadfast love to the world by not just putting us here and causing us to fend for ourselves, but giving us the things that we need by creating in a way where we are also taken care of. And so he extends his steadfast love for us through his goodness that we see in creation. You see, as Tom Albright once again said, "God contemplated how the features of creation complemented each other." And the writer of Genesis concludes that God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. God looked over his creation and all the features of his creation. And within his creation, he didn't just haphazardly create, but he actually gave thought and consideration to how it would build and complement each other. And God creates in that way, and he sees that it was very good. However, God doesn't just create the world in this goodness. And this is the next part that I want us to see. God doesn't just create the world in this goodness, but he also sustains the world in this goodness. God didn't just create the world and then sit back and say, "All right, I'm done with it. It's over. It will play out how it plays out." Rather, God continues to sustain the world. And in doing so, he continually shows his steadfast love to his creation. You see, God is both creator and sustainer of all things. In Acts chapter 17, verses 24 through 28, Paul is preaching to the people at the Areopagus, and he notices that they have a, what's the word I'm looking for? They're worshiping this, what they call the unknown God. And he says, "I want to talk to you about this unknown God because he's known to me. I want to tell you about this one true God." And so he says, "The God who made the world and everything in it, being Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in temples made by man, nor is he served by human hands as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all mankind life and breath and everything." So he's already talked about how God is creator by saying that he made the world and everything in it, and that he gives life and breath to everything in the world. And then he goes on, he says, "And he made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined allotted periods and boundaries of their dwelling place, that they should seek God and perhaps feel their way toward him and find him. But then he says, yet he is actually not far from each one of us, for in him we live and move and have our being." What he says is, we continue to live in the goodness of God. The goodness of God continues to be the thing that gives us our life and our breath and our being. The goodness of God is the steadfast love of God that endures forever that we continue to experience. You see, as sustainer, God continues to show his steadfast love by working good into his creation continually in a way that each individual part of creation is beneficial and good for the whole of creation. Let me say that again. Each individual part, each individual person is good and beneficial to the whole of creation. Last week, I encouraged you to read Psalm 104, and I would maybe even encourage you to pause your video now and to stop and read Psalm 104. It's a longer psalm, so I'm not going to read it all for you. But look at the way that the psalmist talks about how creation serves one another and encourages one another and builds up one another and is beneficial to one another. How each part of creation has its role in creation and is good for the rest of creation. And so I might encourage you to just pause your video there for a moment and read this psalm. So in Psalm 104, we see, like I said, the way that creation builds and encourages and is good for the rest of creation. And I will read this last part of Psalm 104. Picking up at verse 31, the psalmist says, "May the glory of the Lord endure forever. May the Lord rejoice in his works, who looks on the earth and it trembles, who touches the mountains and they smoke. I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have been. May my meditation be pleasing to him, for I rejoice in the Lord. Let sinners be consumed from the earth, and let the wicked be no more. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Praise the Lord." We're going to sing those very words here in a few moments. It's, "Bless the Lord, O my soul." But the psalmist sings blessing to the Lord and praise to the Lord, because the Lord who endures forever also rejoices in his works forever. And he looks on the earth and he touches the mountains and he works and he sustains his creation forever. And the steadfast love of God continues to be shown in the sustaining love of God in the goodness of his creation. You see, God in his steadfast love continues to work good into his creation. And so we think about that. And we learn about the nature of God in the Old Testament, and specifically the nature of God and the goodness of his creation. But then we go back to this question. What does this mean for me? What does this mean for us and our responsibility in and to God's creation? Let's go back to Genesis chapter 1 again. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 says, "Then God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over the livestock and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God is in the midst of creating, and it comes to the point where he's creating mankind, he's creating human beings. And God says, "Let us make man in our image and after our likeness." What a blessing that is. I mean, think about how that speaks to the love and the goodness of God. To know that I am created, you are created, that we are created in the image of God. God is good and he shows his steadfast love to us in the way that he creates us in his image. But if we are created in his image, we are also tasked with the responsibility of being the image bearers of God. And so in being the image of God, he tells us this. Verse 28 says that God creates in his image, God blesses them, and God says to them, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on the earth." You see, God creates mankind. And I want us to pause here for a second. I don't have this on here, but I want you to open up your Bibles to Psalm 8. Psalm 8, the psalmist writes this and talks about how mankind has been created. And this is how Psalm 8 reads. "O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babies and infants, you have established strength because of your foes, to still the enemy and the avenger. When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you care for him? Now listen to how he talks about how man is created, how the psalmist talks about how man is created. David says, yet you have made him a little lower than heavenly beings and crowned him with glory and honor. You have given him dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen and also the beasts of the field, the birds of the heavens and the fish of the sea, whatever passes along the paths of the sea. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. David writes this psalm and he recognizes that we are created from the dust of the earth, but God has created us a little bit lower than the heavenly beings. And he's crowned us with glory and he's crowned us with honor. And he's given mankind dominion over the rest of creation. But what does that mean? What does it mean for the image bearers of God to be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on the earth? What does it mean for us to be created in a way where those things are put under our responsibility? You see, it means just that we have a special responsibility. A special responsibility to be the image bearers of God. How do we bear the image of God in this responsibility? Well, we emulate the goodness of God and the steadfast love of God that he works into creation. See, once again, to quote Tom Albright said, just as God exercises dominion over all reality, so man is given charge of the sphere in which God has placed him. Man, therefore, has been assigned a privileged position, but he is to exercise his dominion responsibly under God, protecting the interest of all the creatures as well as his own. You see, when God created us a little bit lower than the heavenly beings, and when God took all the rest of creation and put it under our dominion, God didn't put us here to be rulers. God didn't put us here to destroy and make the rest of earth serve us. God put us here to be the bearers of his image and to protect all of God's creatures and all of God's creation and to protect even our own. You see, when we will truly begin to embrace our responsibility as the image bearers of God and not be people who tear down, not be people who try to rule over others and step over others and build ourselves up, but rather people who will be beneficial to everybody else and to everything else and take care of God's creation and take care of God's creatures and take care of our own and love in the way that God loves. When we as the image bearers of God will be an extension of the steadfast love of God that's shown in the goodness of God's creation and care for and build up all of God's creation. Then and only then will God be able to look at what we are doing here on this earth as his creation and say as the Creator God that everything he has made is very good. You see, God made this world. God made everything to be good. And what he means by that is he means that we are to be beneficial to everybody else, to be servants of everybody else and everything else, and to take care and to protect his creation, both the world, everything in it, and our fellow mankind. And when we do that, we will be the image bearers of God, and we will be the extension of the steadfast love of God that endures forever. Let's pray together as we close. Holy Father, we thank you that even in the mess around us, we can experience your steadfast love and your goodness. And Father, as we are a part of this world, a part of your creation, help us to know and to realize and to take seriously the responsibility that you have given us to be your image bearers in this world. And help us to know that what that means is that we are to be good to your creation, that we are to protect your creation, that we are to love your creation, that we are to build up your creation, this world and everything in it. We are to love your creation, and we are to love one another, because we know that you have created us all to live together in your goodness. Father, help us to be good, and help us to be an extension of your steadfast love. We love you so much, Father. It's through your Son's name that we pray. Amen.
Bless the Lord, O my soul. O my soul, worship his holy name. Sing like never before. O my soul, I worship your holy name. The sun comes up, it's a new it's time to sing your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the evening comes. Bless the Lord, O my soul. O my soul, worship his holy name. Sing like never before. Sing like never before.